Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Monday, and boy, is this perfectly timed. It's Oklahoma and Texas officially announcing they're leaving the Big 12. How many more years until they're in the SEC? We'll have to wait and see on that. But joining us now, our friend Josh Pate at Late Kick. Josh on Twitter, National College Football for 24/7 Sports. He's the host of the Late Kick on YouTube and the Late Kick podcast, both with, of course, Josh Pate. Josh, thanks for the time, man. We loved having you on last time. We thought we got to get this guy on again. I'll just start your reaction. The news coming out here recently, some people differed on how real it was going to be. I know you believe this was a real threat, but Oklahoma and Texas no longer going to be in the Big 12. What's your reaction?
When was I on with you? I was on with you guys like 2 weeks ago, right? It was very recent. So let's just imagine that morning. Let's go back in time. And let's say you guys pitch me, hey, Josh, how you doing? Give me a big prediction for the season. And I were to tell you, well, I think in a couple of weeks, what's going to dominate SEC media days is Texas and Oklahoma announcing they're leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. What would you have said to me at that point? You would have hung up, but then what would you have said about me at that point?
Probably would have called you an idiot, probably. Hang up on that idiot. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
I wouldn't have hung up, but I would have been like, great, now the SEC is going to have all 12 playoff spots in about 4 years.
Yeah, so that's case study number one of why you should never laugh at anyone's prediction on anything, because the craziest stuff could happen. Look, here's my reaction. This is what it feels like to live in a 30 for 30 as it's going on. Sometimes you don't realize it until after the fact, but we're in one right now. I am in the South. I grew up in the South. I live in the South. I'm in the South. And it's crazy when you just talk to people, you know, on the street, literally, about this stuff. There are wide-ranging opinions. Some people are excited just for the prospect of seeing big-time matchups on Saturday afternoons. But there are a lot of people down here, and I'm included in this group, that looks and says, but wait, aren't we college football fans too? And if the answer is yes, don't you have to have the greater good of the sport in the back of your mind or in the forefront of your mind when it comes to what you think is good or bad? And that's why I've looked at this. I don't like it at all. I mean, it did not appeal to me from day one, and it's only because – you know, I look in other sectors of life and you watch conglomeration happen and you watch, you know, the Amazons of the world. And I'm not demonizing anyone. I'm just saying that's what happens in a completely open market. And I've never wanted college football to be that. I love college football having sort of the feel of a natural preserve, to where we do have what you would call arbitrary checks and balances in place. We created them ourselves, to where, let's just say, we create a world where truly the Iowa States and Alabamas can theoretically exist on the same plane. Well, you don't have that anymore. Once you remove those barriers, and I think NIL has done a lot to erode that barrier, it's called amateurism. Once you remove that final barrier, you go into full free market law of the jungle mode. And at that point, it's just the biggest shark that gets to go eat. And so the biggest shark is the SEC and Greg Sankey. They're eating right now. And it's in my best interest in the fact that I cover the conference, I guess, but I don't like it because my best interest truly is when college football is being served. And I don't think this is serving college football.
Are they done? Are they done adding teams?
Why would they? That's the other question I've asked people who just assume they're stopping after they get Texas and Oklahoma. Listen, the appetite necessary to go after Texas and Oklahoma inevitably will not be suppressed once you get Texas and Oklahoma, because this part I can pretty much guarantee you, there have absolutely been other institutions out there reaching out to the SEC because they understand what the deal is at this point. And so what are you going to do? Turn them down when you have the opportunity to add that much more inventory to your potential television revenue pie, you're going to turn that down. That's what worries me, because we use the term Pandora's box a lot, probably overused. It's not overused here. I think it's very apropos to the situation.
Well, Josh, so I'm glad you said that, because I feel the exact same way. I can't fathom that they're done with just these two teams. There was a random person, maybe it's an accredited reporter, but I saw it and it was Twitter, but it said they contacted Clemson, Michigan, Florida State. They're not done with this. I'm starting to wonder the theory of who owns the SEC, basically. It's ESPN, ABC. They got this big partnership. Are they making it look and doing something on their own, saying buy NCAA, buy second-tier programs who can never compete? We're going to go basically make our own league here and have our own little college football world where we have the best programs in the country playing each other.
It's where I think ultimately it's headed. I mean, if you just map out the end game, if you forget about everything you'd use to define what college football is to you right now, you guys live on the West Coast, okay? When there is an earthquake happening, no one thinks rationally. It is, let's survive the earthquake. I mean, let's get under the door frame or whatever you have to do. Let's just survive the earthquake. College football is in the middle of an earthquake right now. So every label falls to the ground. Every preconceived notion falls to the ground. Everything's fluid. Everything's in play right now. And if you try your best to map out what the landscape looks like when the earthquake is finished, how do you arrive at any other conclusion? When you look at one already superpower in the sport consolidating even further a few other superpowers that existed outside of its blueprint, at that point, the thinking down here has been all along, the SEC is headed to a world where they detach themselves from the NCAA entirely. But in doing that, yes, you kind of detach yourself from college football, but you don't leave college football behind. What you tell people is, no, we're not leaving college football behind. We are college football. The three letters, SEC, they are CFB now. So again, if you grew up being a fan of college football, you listen to that and it repulses you. And I feel the same way, and I'm down here in the SEC.
Yeah, it's just crazy how quickly this is all. A week ago, we're in a normal world, and now a week later, it's like, what the hell is college football going to look like in 5 years? Nobody knows. Josh Pate is our guest, national college football for 24/7 Sports. You can check his Late Kick show on YouTube. Also, the podcast Late Kick with Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. You mentioned us being on the West Coast. We're already fearful of being out of sight, out of mind to the rest of the college football world here in Pac-12 territory. What's your reaction of how this plays out for our conference? Is it a fear of our big schools potentially getting poached out? Is there a play here for the Pac-12? I mean, if you got to join the world, right? You got to hunt or be hunted. Are you going after other programs in the Big 12? Like, how does this play out here in Pac-12 country?
Well, so I know a lot of folks are throwing around the concept that once everything settles down, what we will be left with is multiple super conferences. And that used to be the way I thought about it, too. It's not the way I think about it now, at least in the terms of multiplicity. What I think is you will have the SEC become whatever the SEC becomes. And, you know, I think, to be honest with you, I don't like what I'm about to say, but I think it's more likely college football takes on, where have we heard this before, a lot of NFL feel to it, in that you have an AFC and you got an NFC. So you got two, you know, major whatever we would call them in the college world, but that is Oregon's play. That is Southern Cal's play. Now, what is that? Is that a Big 12, Pac-12 merger? Well, I don't know that that still would be formidable enough once you remove Texas and Oklahoma from the equation. So what you're going to probably have to think about is you're probably going to have to think about, once the SEC does what they do, who takes the reins? Is it the Big 10? Is it the ACC? Is it the Pac-12, the Big 12? Someone takes the reins. And you have got to organize whatever the counter will be to what the SEC does. To me, it is another super conference. That's what it is. But we're talking about, guys, to be clear here, I am talking about a conceptual model that could put Oregon and Clemson in the same conference, which is ludicrous. But if you think about it in more pro NFL terms instead of college regionality terms, it makes sense. Again, I hate that because I love the regionality of college football.
Right.
But if it is a true, again, like do or die moment, I don't know, because I was talking the other night on the show. If you're Mario Cristobal, you really like where things are headed at Oregon. I mean, recruiting is great. Infrastructure is great. Investment is great. Everything seems to be trending in the right direction. But what happens if 50 or 60% of the legitimacy of your conference affiliation is all of a sudden cut out from under you. And you're existing all of a sudden as a second-class citizen in college football. Like, what do you do? I don't even know how you handle that. And that's one of the crazy aspects of many crazy aspects of this whole thing. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tough decision time. It's not the end of the world, but I think it's going to be tough decision time out there.
Dude, I am in lockstep with everything you have said. We just did a segment before you came on, and I basically was like, dude, I'm worried that this is what it's going to be, that it's they are breaking away from the NCAA. ESPN understands people don't like the NCAA. They can make a buttload more money if they do this super conference and play their own sport. They know we'll watch. I will. And it worries me. What I'm an alum, though, of Oregon State, Josh, and while I know what Oregon State really is in college football, if they're good, that's great. If tier, whatever, you know, it's whatever. But what happens to programs like Oregon State, specifically with just football, not basketball or anything else? What happens with teams like Oregon State throughout college football if this all kind of goes down that way?
I don't think there's a spot at the table for them. I mean, it sucks because it is the tearing down of the dam. I mean, right now, you know, I grew up in Columbus. We've got a place called Lake Martin, which is right below a big dam. And so there is a lot of recreation there in Lake Martin. There's a lot of wildlife that lives in Lake Martin that could never exist the moment that dam got breached. The college football dam is being breached right now, and there are a lot of programs that have been able, because of a dam that we voluntarily built, to be able to live in that environment. This is how, theoretically, the Oregon States of the world can live in the same pool as the Georgias of the world. Understanding Georgia is always the bigger fish, but Oregon State can sustain itself in that pool. We are voluntarily now tearing down the dam that we put up, and I don't see any way feasible for programs like Oregon State to survive, because you've got to think about the value that you bring to the table. And it's not just Oregon State, man. Think about a program like Iowa State right now, which is a preseason top 10. Right. If you start listening to some of these folks talk about from a revenue standpoint and from a tractability standpoint and a market share standpoint, what little value Iowa State brings, we're talking about some big time current players in the college football world that you would have a TV executive look at you sideways and say, we don't have room for them. And so, yeah, for many reasons, this being another one, I hate that concept. I wish I could reject it totally. I hate that concept.
Yeah, Beavers build dams, Josh. You sure you don't want to take them? They're good dam builders.
I wish so badly I realized that as it was coming out of my mouth.
Made for a great analogy. Josh Pate, he's one of our favorites. Go check out The Late Kick with Josh Pate on YouTube. Also the podcast, National College Football for 24/7 Sports.
Josh, when do you think, last one for me, when do you think we'll hear anything about maybe them looking to expand even more? Like, what is your timeline in your mind of when we'd hear more noise from the SEC looking to add teams?
Man, I really truthfully have no clue. I think that could come today. It could come 6 months from now. I think it's going to be a very unique season. Last year was unique for totally different reasons. Mm-hmm. This season could be unique in that, if you want to call it a cloud, you have that cloud sort of always in the back of everyone's mind, and you got a great season coming up. We got a phenomenal season. That's kind of the juxtaposition. But every Saturday you watch the games and then you wonder, I wonder where that helmet logo will be in 2 years. I wonder where this program will be in 4 years. What I really hope is that there's some kind of definitive statement made from the SEC. Now, they have no incentive to do that, but I wish that we could find out one way or the other, hey, here's where we are deciding to rest. Here's the maximum number that we'll take. I just wish we had some clarity on that. And I know a lot of reporters are trying to dig and get that kind of information, and not surprisingly, there is precious little coming out of the mouths of those who stand to be able to make such statements.
Yeah, scary stuff. We'll see where it all goes in the sport. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Late Kick Josh. Great stuff as always. Josh Pate, let's do it again soon, man. Thanks so much for the time again this morning.
All right, guys, I appreciate it.
There you go, Josh Pate. Let's get to what this means and where does the Pac-12 go from here. We, ironically, are going to have George Klyavkov on the show this week. He is the commissioner of the conference. We're going to be down at Pac-12 Media Day.
He'll be on Wednesday.
Yeah. And I wonder what we're going to have to ask him about, because what the hell does this mean for the Pac-12? Where do they go from here next on The Fan?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.